In this screencast, let's just build a simple Silverlight 3 application, show that we can run it outside of the browser, but more importantly, show that we can do that on a Macintosh as well. So let's make an application first so we can see something going on. Let's do File, New, Website in here. And we'll build an empty ASP.NET website. I'll call this Silverlight website, something like that. It's just happening on my local IIS server. Let's get rid of this default page. I won't be needing that right now. And let me add to this project a new Silverlight project. So that's a Silverlight application. Let me just stick this into C temp. And we'll call this my SL application, something like that. OK, great. We'll add it to the website. That's kind of cool. And so now we've got a Silverlight application that is referenced on a website. Let's close these windows down. OK, so that's great. What I want to show is that a Silverlight application can call web services, whether it's running in the browser or not. So let's go and add a web service to this website. So we'll just go and add a new item. That'll be a WCF web service. I'll call this random number service. And Visual Studio will throw me in a couple of template files. And I'll change the interface for this so that we get a list of random numbers. So that's fine. We're just going to get a list of those things. And let's go to the implementation of that. And this is no longer the interface that we have. We have this interface. And we'll just say, let's create a random, we'll say, just to seed that slightly. Let's just go and do that. And let's say for I equals 1 to 100, after we make our list, let's call that list. We'll create a list. We'll say for I is 1 to 100, list.add of the next random value up to 100. And let's return that list. OK, great. So we've built a WCF service. We're compiling. That should all be fine. Let's go to the configuration of that service, because by default, what Visual Studio has generated won't be compatible with Silverlight. I don't want to use this WS binding. I want to use the basic HTTP binding. I don't need this identity setting, I don't think. I don't need this MEX addressing, I don't think. So we should be OK with that, I think. Let's go to our Silverlight application and add to that Silverlight application a reference to the service we just wrote. We can discover that in Visual Studio. It's going to generate some code for us. Let's call this proxy code. And the namespace for that code it's going to generate. And that's that Visual Studio that. And it will give us a proxy that can be asynchronously invoked from Silverlight to call that service. So what I want to do is call that service every so often. Let's just see if we can do that. Let's pop to our main code here in Silverlight. Let's just collapse this down. And when the application loads, let's say this.loaded plus equals onloaded to generate a handler for that. And let's just tidy up that code. And then in that onloaded function, what I want to do is set up a timer. So let's say we'll have a dispatcher timer. We'll call it timer. We'll create one of those. We'll give that timer an interval. We'll just give this 5 seconds, something like that. Let's say timer.start, and let's handle the event on the timer, which is timer.tick. Let's call this onTimerTick and throw in that event handler. Let me just collapse these namespaces a little. OK, great. So we've got this thing that's ticking every 5 seconds. In there, let's go and create one of our proxies. So that'll be called random number service client. That's a proxy. Let's create one of those. And then let's say proxy.getRandomNumbers. It's Silverlight, so this is going to be asynchronous. And we can handle the event when this is completed. Let's say on service call completed, something like that. And let me just tidy up that code a little bit to get rid of all those generics. OK, great. So we've got this call now here every 5 seconds or so. And we can say if the event args, let me just bring that onto a line for you. If the error that we got from doing that is null, i.e. the code worked, let's just put a line of code here so we can press a breakpoint and press F5 and just see if our code is currently calling the web service and doing the right thing. So after 5 seconds, should be calling the service asynchronously. It should come back to us. It looks like if we look into e.results, we looks like we've got 100 integers back from that service. So that's looking cool. OK, so let's do something with this data. I'm just going to display it in a simple chart on the screen. I'll get a chart control from the Silverlight toolkit. So let's go over to our project references over here and just add a reference to. And it's going to be system.windows.controls.datavisualization.toolkit. So we'll add a reference to that assembly. Let me now go to the main UI for my Silverlight application. Let's clear this width and height. And let's add an XML namespace up here for the toolkit. And we're going for, I think it's that guy there. Let's just go and bring that over here a little bit. Into my grid, let me just mark out a couple of rows in here. So we'll have a row. This one can be as high as it likes. And That's not strictly accurate. This one will be as high as the content. This one will be as high as it likes. And then let's go and throw in a toolkit chart in here. I'll give it a name. Let's call it my chart, something like that. Let's also give it a title. Let's say title equals Mike's chart. And let's also give it something to display. So we'll give it an area series. And on that area series, we'll say item source equals binding. So we're just going to bind that. And then we'll say independent value binding is going to be a binding. And we'll say dependent value binding is going to be a binding. And I'm going to bind this to some list of values. We'll call this one label and this one value, something like that. So I need to create a data type that has these two properties on it that I can bind to the item source of this particular area series. In fact, I can probably give that a name as well, but perhaps we'll just refer to the chart in order to control what we want. Okay, so let's just drop to the code behind this and create a quick class that we can use for data binding. Let's just have a quick class. We'll call it bound data or something like that, or let's call it chart point, something like that. And on there, we'll have a property which is going to be the label, and we'll have a property on there which is going to be the value. I think that's what we called it in the XAML. It was what we called it in the XAML. So I'm just going to make a list of these things now and give them to that chart. So whenever we get this service call completed here, what we want to do is create a new list of chart point. Let's just call that points, new one of those, and we'll just for each our way. No. Let's just well, actually, that wasn't a bad way of doing it. So let's go and say for I equals 1 to 100, because we kind of know there's enough points coming back. I suppose we should really say e.results.length, something like that. Let's go and say points.add new chart point, and into that chart point we want to set the label. I guess what we'd say with that is string.format. No, it's an integer. Let's just say I plus 1. And let's just say the value is going to be e dot result I. Okay, so we've gone and just created a list of chart points. So at the end of this, we should be able to go and walk up to our chart, which we called my chart, and say dot data context equals points. Let's go build that and see how we get on, whether that gets us anywhere. Let's press F5 on the application. Chart's looking a little bit small at the moment. Maybe we need to make it a little bit bigger. It's not sizing quite as it is, but it's displaying things. So let's just go and fix the sizing on that chart. So on this guy, let's just make sure we set height equals star. We'll put a little margin around the chart. And I guess realistically, we'll perhaps just put a little bit of text at the top as well. So I have a text block, font size equals 14, text equals Mike's great random charts, and we'll just say text alignment equals center, and we'll put that into the first grid row, and we'll make sure that the chart, which is why it wasn't sizing itself properly, goes into grid row one. Let's just go and make sure we get that right. So we should have a little title now at the top, Mike's great charts. Then we have the chart. Then the chart should be going off every 5 seconds or so and getting random numbers from that service. So we built this little application, pretty simple to do. Now, having built the application, if we wanted to work outside the browser as well as inside the browser, we can just go to the metadata in the application and we can just uncomment this application identity. And really, for what I want here, that this is probably enough. So I can really just take this, comment this. Now my application has a short name. I suppose I should call it Charting App or something like that. This is the title for the window. Let's call it Mike's Charting App. And my blurb could be this is Mike's great charting app, something like that. The thing I say about this, you can also put icons into here. I'm not really making this the focus of the video. I just want to get to the point where we can actually get this thing to run outside the browser. So let's close this down again, press F5. And if we just go to our application, we should be able to then go and right mouse and install this onto this computer. Going for the desktop and the start menu, it should spin up running from this computer, and it should still be talking to that same web service as it was talking to, inside the browser. And I guess if we just drop everything down to my desktop and just have this app running on its own, there it is, kind of running on its own from my desktop. And if we close it down and rerun it, here it is once again running from my desktop. So this is on the Windows box, and you've probably seen this already if you've seen Silverlight 3, but let's take a look at what this looks like on a Macintosh. So I'm going to go across to my Mac and try and continue the recording from my Mac and see what happens over there. So let's close this down and pop back to Visual Studio.
Okay, so we're over on the Mac. Let's just go into Firefox and drop in the URL for my application. So that's my IP address. That's the website we were just on. That's the test page. Let's press return on that. We go across that machine. We get that charting application running here on the Mac. And after 5 seconds, we should start to pull down some charts. And you can see we are pulling those things down. So that's cool. Let's see if we can take this now and run it outside of the browser rather than inside of the browser. Okay, so let's install this onto the local computer. Let's right mouse and install the app. Let's click OK on that. And install the app into my applications folder. And let's shut down the app running in a browser. Okay, so let's go and find the installed app in Spotlight up here. And let's just go and look for the chart app. There it is, chartingapp.app. It's in my applications folder. Let's run it up. Do we want to run it? Yes. It's back running outside the browser. And within our 5 second limit, we should be now hitting against that service in order to get the data from the web service over on the Windows Vista machine. So as one last thing here, let's go and update Mike's great random charts over on the Vista machine.
So back on the Vista machine, let's go to our XAML for a second and just change this so that it says version 2. Rebuild that. Then we can pop back to the Macintosh and see what happens over there.
So having updated the app on the Vista machine, let's run it again on the Mac. And it won't update the first time around. We haven't put any code in here to actually detect the update. But what it will have done is gone and downloaded a new version of itself. We could have put code in here to detect that and tell the user, but let's imagine we did that. And so now when we go and run the application again, we should see that we get the updated version of the application. Or let's just shut it down first. We should see that we go and get the updated version of the application with version 2 coming from the Windows Vista machine. So we managed to do an update to the application whilst it's running offline outside of the browser. And we can then go and remove the application from the computer. Okay, that. And it's gone.